I'm Sue Bach at the Skerritt Bennett Center in Nashville, Tennessee. For years, the Skerritt Bennett Center has been exhibiting the work of local artists in our second floor gallery at the Lasky Welcome Center. In spring 2020, all exhibits were put on hold. So I'm very pleased to announce the first exhibit since the start of the pandemic more than a year ago. It couldn't be more timely or appropriate. The exhibit is Nashville, A Pandemic Observed, and runs from July through September for 3 months. A brief description. Illustrating their divergent perspectives and practices, four photographers from Nashville, each with a solid foundation in newspapers, have prepared a pandemic-era exhibit. The project is as much a study of photographic styles as a record of the pandemic. I'd like to introduce today two of these photographer artists, and they are June Powell and Bill Stieber.
Stieber,
yeah. Excuse me. I should have cleared that first.
No worries.
And they have joined with two others. So I'm going to ask them each to introduce themselves, and then we'll come back and get some information from you about the two other photographers.
Okay.
So, June.
All right. I'm June Powell, and I have been living in Nashville for 15 years. I've been a photographer for various newspapers and nonprofits, I stopped working for newspapers and started working for libraries maybe 7-8 years ago. And but I never stopped photographing my family and my life at home. And when the pandemic closed the schools and couldn't go to work, it was a perfect opportunity to really turn my lens on our own lives at home. And it became a really therapeutic tool for, you know, being creative. And so these pictures are going to be telling the story of how we got through the pandemic, my family and I. And I was really glad to join forces with these three other photographers who I've followed their work for years and see their perspective on the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Bill?
Hey, I'm Bill Stieber. I'm originally from Hickman County, but my father is from Nashville. I've got pretty deep roots in the state and especially in the city. My grandfather, Bob Stieber, started at the Tennessean in 1935. Mm-hmm. I think, in fact, my great-grandfather worked at the Tennessean before it was the Tennessean. So I've got with exception of about a 10-year period between my grandfather's retirement and when I started at the paper in 1989, it's about 100 years that my family worked at the Tennessee. And so we got pretty deep journalism, documentary roots in the area. And I was just really thrilled that June asked me to be part of this. And everybody has a different approach for this exhibit and this project. And I decided, well, what can I do that's a little different? One of the things I've been working with for the past 15 years or so is antiquated 19th century photo processes. Mm-hmm. So specifically the wet plate collodion, which existed from 1851 to about 1885, although it was continued for another 20 or 30 years, but that's the kind of the period for that process. It was kind of the second photographic process in the history of photography. And what it does is it requires you to really, really slow down. The exposures are very, very long. Everything about it requires a certain attention to craft and detail and patience, something which I'm not naturally endowed with. So I thought, you know, we have all slowed down. We've all had to reassess and our lives and our relationship to our work and stuff like that. So I thought using this process to do some portraits and make some statements about my own experience and those around me through this process was kind of particularly apropos. Yeah.
reflective of the time exactly that we've been spending. Yes, taking our time.
I know this is a podcast and you can't see what he's talking about, but these prints are so beautiful. They are luminous. They are ghostly. The chemicals, you could see them dripping.
Yeah, it's a very visceral.
It's like a painting.
Yes. You'll just have to come to the exhibit.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. So who would like to tell me about the two other?
I can talk about Dawn a little bit.
Sure.
You know Dawn too.
Yeah, I've known Dawn since she was a teenager.
Oh my God. Yes. Maybe you should go first.
No, go ahead.
I know she spent maybe a decade or more at the St. Louis Dispatch, which is a famous newspaper. Yeah. And she's been on photo shoots around the world with that work. And I got to know her because we were both state employees for a while. I worked at the State Library and Archives, and she's with the Photo General Services. So she's photographing what the Tennessee government is doing, and doing that in a pandemic is no joke.
Yes.
But her photographs look so different. They are all cell phone photographs. And for the most part, they were made before the pandemic, but she kind of edited them and put them together. And they certainly have those pandemic themes. Mm-hmm. There's this intersection between nature and humanity having this clash that I saw in the photos. And I'm super excited because it really lends, it's just there's like colorful jewels looking at her photos, would you say?
Yeah, and I love this, the work that Dawn does. It's very separate from her work as a, you know, photojournalist. This is a much more, I would say they're almost like little visual poems. They're just, you know, little, and I hate to use the word snapshot, but in a way that they carry a sort of unpretentiousness, but yet a deep thoughtfulness, the way that she pairs the photographs together. So in other words, there's what you do for your work. And then there's like these quiet reflective moments that come from, you know, just taking out your cell phone.
Yes.
But the way that she's put everything together is they're really deeply thought and beautiful. They really are like little haiku.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And this is Dawn Majors that we're speaking of, and she is an official photographer for the state of Tennessee.
They're so sweet.
Yes. Photos. Yes.
Yeah. One of my favorite photos of hers that I think is going to go in the exhibit shows one of those photos in. What neighborhood is it of Nashville? But it's a big sign, but it has with an arrow pointing like to the sky or in a direction, but there's no words in the sign. And it's just from one of these kind of dilapidated neighborhoods of Nashville, but it seems so fitting. Mm-hmm. All of us were trying to get direction, but without any real substance.
Right, exactly.
We were all trying to make our way. And she has another really beautiful picture of some family members of hers standing by a river looking like, how are we going to cross this?
Right.
Which was all of us, I think.
And one of hers that I saw was of a discarded mask on the ground having been rained on. I mean, it just spoke volumes.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. No, they're very beautiful.
Yes. Who would like to talk about John Partapillo?
John Partapillo, I think you and Bill go way back, but I know that he has been working at the newspapers in Middle Tennessee forever. He comes from Arkansas, but I know that you have maybe served as a mentor to him.
Oh, I wouldn't call it that.
That's what's
mentor each other.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I met John when he first moved here. He started working down for the Tennessean, but in Franklin, before he moved up to the regular staff at the Tennessean. But John, the only way to describe him is a force of nature.
Absolutely.
And I would say that it's nice to talk about him in contrast, sort of with Dawn's approach, in that it's you know, equally valid but opposite in some ways, whereas her photographs are very subtle and very you know, quiet, you know, there's a kind of an explosive quality to what John does, and it kind of fitting of his larger than life personality and the way he engages with the world and other people. I mean, you're viscerally there in the moment. And not that he's not capable of, there's some very quiet photographs in here, but he's coming from a very strong photojournalism documentary perspective.
I'd say they really look like traditional newspaper photographs in the best way possible. He's photographing other people's experience in different neighborhoods of Nashville. and it's not about him.
No, his work is very deeply representational in a traditional documentary sense. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, you know, what I'm doing is I'm doing a little of that. I've got some healthcare workers and some COVID testing and stuff done through this antiquated process. And mostly it's people that I know. And with June, you know, it's her family and it's her personal experience. So it's the universal speaking through the particular of, you know, her experience. Of the four of us, John is work is the most actual traditional documentary. So he's actually documenting and reflecting the community's experience in a more traditional documentary way, but with his unrelenting eye and deep passion for his subjects and humanity, what he brings to bear on it.
And he's using an interesting process to print his photographs. They're going to be on metal. And so we've had some interesting conversations about how we're going to hang those things, and it's going to work really well. But people are going to have to come and see what this process is and how it turned out. It's quite amazing.
They are going to be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I just thought about it. My photographs are shot originally on metal.
Yes.
But then they're going to be converted to carbon prints, another 19th century process, whereas John's is originally shot on digital, and he's presenting them on metal.
Yes.
So I just happened to think about it.
We have the history of photography.
Actually, we do.
Exhibit.
Yeah.
You could come and learn a lot. So now I would like for you to talk about how this all came together. How did the four of you get together to come up with this?
Well, that's June. She's the one. She's the mastermind behind this whole thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I guess it was midsummer. I'd been photographing my family, and I was starting to see that this was going to be a body of work. I was going to have a lot, and I wanted to do something with it. And a blog seems too small and not enough real connection. And I'd love to have a show, put it on the wall, make a book, do something you can hold in your hand and remember that you did physically. And I know that I knew that if I was able to team up with some other photographers, then people would be more likely to give it a chance. And so I started reaching out to my favorite folks, who I've followed their work forever, and I was pleased and surprised that y'all said yes.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I mean, it was a brilliant idea, and you know, that's the greatest thing in the world is to give, you know, as an artist, be given a challenge to accomplish something at a certain level, but not be told exactly how to accomplish it. That's dangling the bait right in front of you that we all are just like, yes, let's do it. What a great challenge.
I think probably not just me, but a lot of people were needing connection.
Absolutely.
In their lives. And I think this kind of gave us something to chew on.
I would like to say that the one photo I've seen of yours that just intrigued me so much was your children. Can you tell the story of how that particular photo came about and their little flyer that they made? Do you remember which one it is?
Yeah, yes. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
We have a lot of conversations with our kids that maybe a lot of other people wouldn't because they're young. But... My husband and I were we're serious about being involved in a lot of social justice work and trying to leave the world better than we found it. And so we were talking to them about the Black Lives Matter movement and these protests that were happening all over the world after George Floyd. And I mean, the pictures were amazing. I mean, just a sea of people in support. Anyways, so we talked to them about what a protest is. What's the difference between a march and a parade? And so we showed them some of the pictures, some of John's pictures of downtown Nashville. It wasn't just happening all over the world. It was right here. So anyways, they wanted to have their own march in the house. So my son made a Black Lives Matter sign. And my daughter said, "Down with the virus. We miss our friends." And we marched around the living room. We made our demands of somebody. And then I have a picture of them kind of relaxing on the couch afterwards. With
eating bagels?
Eating maybe? Bagels.
with the bagels. Little flyer in the background.
Yeah, there's two of them, and there's two bagels, and there's... Anyways, yes. It's funny.
Yes, perfect. It's perfect. One of the things I wanted to say, you have talked about a book. Are you going to be able to have a book at this exhibit?
Thank you for asking that.
Yes.
I am. This has actually been a really good year in some ways for me because I have had this lifelong goal of making a book. I'm actually doing it. I reached out to publishers for years and somebody finally said yes back at the end of last summer. And it's called Horse and Buggy Press out of Durham, North Carolina. And this designer and publisher is... he likes to do small runs of art books and work on them collaboratively. So I am not a designer, but he is. And so we have put together a book with the help of my sister, Tara Powell, who is a poet and a professor of literature in University of South Carolina at Columbia. So she wrote an essay to go with my photographs, and it's all about family and memory and the early days with my children. So,
well, and this is the point where I need to mention that the art that you see when you come to the exhibit will be available for sale. Now, you can't pick it up till the exhibit's over, but the book will also be available for purchase.
It will.
Yes.
Well,
so this will be
hold it in my hand.
I think this will be a first for our exhibits. I'm not sure we've ever been able to combine these two things before. One other note is that the work is slated to be added to Vanderbilt University's permanent fine art collection. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. I reached out to them to see if they would be interested in having an exhibit, and they said, we only exhibit things that belong to us. And I said, well...
We can solve that problem.
Yeah.
So this is your chance to see it before it goes into the collection, because it will be exhibited again, but who knows when. So
right. This
summer is your chance to see it.
That's right. Yes. I hope everybody comes to this exhibit.
And you've got 3 months to do it. And in addition, it is opening July 1 through the end of September, but there will be an artist reception. You can come and meet the artists on Thursday, July 15th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and have wonderful refreshments provided by our professional chef, who always outdoes herself. So we're looking forward to this being our first exhibit in more than a year, and it could not be more timely and appropriate. Thank you.
Well, we're very honored to be part of that first exhibit and my first exhibit here. So, and thank you, June, for putting this together and making it happen, being our den mother to make it.
We all did it. We're so excited. And we're pulling it off. It's a dream come true, not just for me.
Thank you.